Good morning and welcome to worship from Westwood Church in Los Angeles, California. I am Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my privilege and joy to welcome you as we gather online this morning, turning our hearts to God and connecting with one another through worship. Wherever you are, I hope you feel welcome and encouraged to participate as you're able. In the posting of this video on Facebook and our website, there is a link to download a worship guide that you can use to participate along with prayers and songs. As a part of this morning's worship, we will be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we invite and encourage you to participate in that from your homes. We invite you to find some kind of bread in your home, something that might be a part of your regular meal, a bread or bread product, and juice or wine or some other beverage that comes from the earth, like tea. We invite you to set a table with us as we celebrate the gift of Christ's grace where we are. During this time of coronavirus pandemic, we are physically separated from each other, but it feels ever more important to bring our hearts together as we join our hearts and voices in praying and in song for the sake of knowing and honoring the gift of the grace that binds us together as one. So I encourage you to participate as you're able as we join now in worship. Gracious God, loving Shepherd, you journey with us all of our days. Even on the most treacherous paths, you revive our weary hearts and bodies and anoint us for the challenges ahead. Call to us again by name this day, that we might confidently follow your leading and offer ourselves to the well-being of all your creation, until we are together transformed by your abundant love. We pray in the name of Christ, who journeys with us. Amen.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in their heavenly Father's rays.
First scripture reading is from Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gospel reading is from John chapter 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth in this space and the meditations of our hearts, wherever we are as we gather online, be a blessing and tribute to you, O God our Creator, O Christ our Redeemer, O Holy Spirit who sustains us all. Amen. We're here on the fourth Sunday of Easter, which in our lectionary offers us scripture passages that connect us to this beautiful metaphor of God, of Christ being our shepherd. It's the Sunday in which we're given another occasion to re-engage this beloved metaphor, which reminds us of beautiful scripture that we've used in moments of life, in struggle, in grief, in joy, to ground us in Christ's identity. I think it's the piece of scripture I find people most consistently have memorized that we know by heart. The words of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Today in worship, they were sung for us in beautiful poetry and melody that re-engaged the text by changing the translation just a little, opening the great gift of this metaphor, this image for putting greater understanding into who God is and what it means to belong to God. If God, if Christ is our shepherd, we know ourselves to be tended to. We know a God of companionship and protection. And I'm hungry for reminders of that now as much as ever in my life. The difficulty of this moment in the lives of our families and community and world has grown heavy. I feel in my own life a shift this last week. The sort of adrenaline and excitement of figuring out how to make things work now seems to have worn off as we settle into the reality that this displaced, disturbed way of being is going to continue for quite some time, necessary because of our desire to protect our common health and to prevent disease from further ravaging our human communities. And so we settle deeper into this new way of being in the world, engaging more through screens, through telephones, through other mediators which allow us to connect to one another. It's not as satisfying as being in person, but it's better than nothing. And as the real human cost of the coronavirus becomes clear with heart-wrenching numbers and actual lives connected to us being impacted, we find ourselves sitting with this knowledge that there is not a better way to handle this moment. It's unsatisfying, but necessary. This last week, our governor here in California laid out for us some stages of what it will look like to reopen, to return to ordinary life. And it's settled into my spirit as a reminder that it's going to be a long while before church is going to be able to gather in the ways that we're accustomed to, in the ways that we prefer. And even when some of us are able to gather together person to person, so many in our community who find themselves in more vulnerable populations won't be able to be with us. It's a reminder of our common humanity and vulnerability that we all share, a reminder that we're in this for a long haul and that it's necessary. So I'm glad this morning to have familiar texts to turn to give me an assurance of God's companionship with me, with us, in the midst of great difficulty. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist writes, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We have again this morning a reminder of a God who goes with us. But the text for this Sunday, this year's fourth Sunday of Easter, while it focuses us on the image of Christ as shepherd, also gives us another image. Jesus is the gate, or the gatekeeper, who allows the sheep into the fold. I have to admit that I'm not a terrific fan of gatekeepers, particularly in religious institutions. Too often we've used gatekeeping as a way to judge one another, to maintain the illusion that we know who's in and who's out. We've used it individualistically as a way of defining ourselves over and against someone else. So I had to dig deeper and pray harder to try to figure out what Jesus was saying as he proclaimed himself, both gate and gatekeeper. The image that he uses, this metaphorical description of his identity, is one of many metaphors in our gospel and in our church tradition through which we try to access and understand and connect to God. God is always beyond all of our metaphors, and two particular theologians have been helpful to me in coming to grips with that reality, which is one both that requires we acknowledge our human limitations and one that expands a wide open space. As we acknowledge that every metaphor has its limitation and there is space for another way of naming and describing and connecting with this God who transcends all of these descriptions. The first theologian who helped open this for me was Paul Tillich. I read his small volume, Dynamics of Faith, when I was in high school at a theology nerd camp, and it opened this vast space in our Christian tradition that felt like liberation and life to me at the time. Instead of requiring that we understand the gifts of salvation, the doctrines of our Christian faith in a narrow way that requires assenting to the way someone else has described it, Tillich's description of signs and symbols, his definition of faith as a state of being grasped by ultimate concern, opened up a wide space in which I found myself able to continue to use my mind and imagination to wrestle with the complexities of the world, to try to understand who God is, no longer afraid that I would go one metaphor too far and find myself thrown out of the church. I found a richness in the way he described faith at work through our human embodied experience. He underscores the difference between signs and symbols, describing signs as words and traditions that help point us toward God, but symbols as being a way of not only pointing to God, but participating in God. A symbol is a rich embodiment, a participation in that to which it points, even as it points on to something beyond itself. It is what it is and a something more. The second person who helped me understand the gift and limitation of our metaphors is the theologian Sally McFaig, whose early work on the metaphorical theology has helped us break open some of the rigid and damaging metaphors that too often have limited our understanding and served to re-entrench power structures that cut some people out of power or voice or community. Her work as an ecological and feminist theologian helped us move beyond or add to the particularly male metaphors by which we often describe the divine, opening a broad new space for using fresh ways to understand God. And so in today's gospel passage from the Gospel of John, in the beginning of the 10th chapter, we encounter a new string of metaphors. Christ is gate and gatekeeper, as a shepherd. We understand ourselves to be sheep and to be wary of thieves and bandits and wolves who come to destroy. The gospel passage for today points us to a way of celebrating a God who is a God who's prepared to admit us into a broad space where we will find safety and protection from real danger, from wolves and thieves and bandits, those who seek to destroy. In this moment where so much seems to be destructive, I'm eager to know and connect to a God who does the work of drawing us into a space of belonging, of protection, in which we have some measure of safety from all that which desires to rob life, to steal, to deny access to basic things. Our God is a God who wants the well-being of all. But claiming that God is our shepherd means admitting that we're a bit like sheep. And fairly often in scripture, sheep are the ones who are going astray. I rather like that sheep seem to go astray without a lot of particular weighty moral judgment or condemnation. It's just what sheep do. They wander away and lose their connection to the fold. If we are sheep, it means acknowledging that we're not always going to get it right, that we're going to be drawn astray, that we're going to find a trail that seemed like it was the right way to go, but led us in a wrong direction. And it's at that moment that we encounter anew and again a God who is a shepherd, who knows us by name and calls to us and draws us back together into community, not for our own sake as an individual, but because all of us matter, all of us belong to God. And so we find ourselves back in the sheepfold, and there in the sheepfold, we find ample space for life, life in connection to a God who wills us to have life and to have it abundantly. This abundant life for us as Christians comes in our connection to one another. In drawing near to God, we draw near to each other, and we find ourselves up close, pinning our own identities, not merely as individuals, but as part of communities. It's so difficult in this moment of coronavirus physical separation to remember and believe, to touch and know that we are one, and yet we are one. And humans have found ways to remember this by yelling out windows at a certain hour of the evening, by writing messages in chalk on sidewalks, by showing up for healthcare workers, by encouraging on those who labor to provide the essential services we all require to stay alive, to harvest food and to bring it to stores and to allow us to purchase it that we might live. In the midst of this world, we keep finding signs to point us toward remembering and claiming that belonging together. I love the verses that we read today from the book of Acts. From chapter 2, these verses describe life in that very earliest church community. Just as if moments after Pentecost, the message of the good news of Jesus Christ seems to have a power that's uncontrollable, as very quickly the movement shifts from being just a few of those who were followers of Jesus during his earthly life to the 5,000 who are moved by the message of the Holy Spirit at that moment. And those new converts, the new participants in the Christian community, represent an unprecedented diversity. And as they live together, sharing this common good news of their belonging together in the community of faith, they figure out how to share life. It describes how they met together in temple and how they broke bread in their homes. Now, sharing meal around tables is one of the most powerful ways I have been able to experience coming together across diversity. There's a precious, tender intimacy in sharing food together in each other's homes. And this is the practice that helped form and shape that early Christian community, the act of being embodied humans together. A of sharing at table. And when you share together at table with people, inevitably you tell stories that call to mind both who you are and where you come from, that help build a sense of shared identity. And all that was a part of that life of the early Christian community. And it continues to be a part of our life now, even as we're physically separated from each other. This morning we share in the sacrament of Holy Communion, which is a sacrament at the heart of our identity and practice as Christians. It's a gathered table around which we come together to tell again the story of who God is and who we are in relationship to God, to remember how God has been about the work of giving life and liberating from the beginning of time, to remember the depth of love that Christ showed and shared in his sacrificial death on a cross, not to appease an angry God, but to embody the fullness of a love that gives up its own self even for the sake of something more, the shared life that we are truly a part of and yet cannot possess in isolation or alone. It's a bit of a tension and disjuncture to imagine sharing communion from our separate spaces this morning, to trust that the table we gather at, even though it's in different spaces, is one table. But for me, this is why it's increasingly important to gather at Christ's table, to remember that though in physical space our tables are separate for one another, in Christ, we are connected. We share one life, one bread. We are one community. And that community connects not only those of us who are a part of Westwood Church or the United Methodist Church or the U.S. American Church, but the table that Christ set connects us through all space to Christians everywhere, across political borders, past boundaries of language, past our comfort and our familiarity. Christ's table includes us all. And it also transcends time. It connects us not only to all those who in this very moment are sharing sacrament with us, but it connects us back through time to all those who've gone before us, who have shared in this bread and claimed it as a participation in the identity of the one who saves us, who gives life to us, whose life we become a part of as we participate in the act of communion. And it also travels us in future time as we imagine that day when all will be well, when the world will be an inhabitation of the divine, when the kingdom of God will be fully present in our midst, when justice will prevail, when love will reign, when grace will be embodied by all. We experience all of that, even in this imperfect moment of sharing, divided by physical space, but sharing together in a spirit of God. And so I invite you this day to claim your belonging in that one body, to claim your participation in a legacy that stretches back through those early Christians in the book of Acts, who, compelled by the life-changing and world-changing message of the Holy Spirit, changed their lives and how they related to each other, how they sought to make sense of the gift of limitless love in the particularities of their time, sharing together as they were able in temple and breaking bread in their homes, joining together their hearts for the sake of reforming themselves into the body of Christ as it was coming to be formed, put together through our living today. The sacrament of Holy Communion is an act of remembrance, of recall of what was, but also of putting together, of assembling the members of the body that is coming into being even now, It's a preparation for what we can be in Christ. And in a time of anxiety and separation, of fear and division, of disease and economic disparity, more than ever, we need to remember, we are called to believe that we are indeed one. That the source of our greatest gift of grace comes from a God who loves us and calls us by name as individuals, but who refuses to let us know ourselves as individuals in isolation, but invites us to believe that we are part of a community that connects us together through time and space in a living proclamation, in a symbol that participates fully in what is true and is coming into being, that reminds us of grace and that becomes grace. We believe that in the sacrament of communion is the real presence of Christ, which means that today, as we share together, even divided by space, we are able to touch and receive the presence of Christ in our physical spaces, in our material bodies, in our human lives. It's a reminder of companionship we need when we are lonely, of assurance, of peace in the midst of division and uncertainty, of hope in the midst of despair and even death. We come together to claim this grace for ourselves here and now. May this grace continue to work and to change in our lives, that we might know ourselves to be fully alive, to experience life and to experience it abundantly, even in this meantime. May it be so. Amen. We turn our hearts together in prayer now. If you're able, I invite you to add additional prayers that you would want us to lift together in the comments below this video, or I encourage you to send them to us in the church office that we might share them with the prayer chain. We lift our hearts together in prayer now. At the end of each line, I invite you to join me in saying, "Lord, have mercy." Let us pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among the nations and people, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of all people, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For a blessing upon the labors of all and for the right use of the riches of creation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this community, for those who are present and those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and may show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our enemies and those who wish us harm, and for all whom we have injured or offended, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For ourselves, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to amend our lives, Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who commended themselves to our prayers, for families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who have died in the faith of Christ, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, pity, and defend us, O God, by your grace. In the communion of the Holy Spirit and of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another to the living God, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In our worship now, we are going to transition to our celebration of Holy Communion. And as we do that, I invite you to join us in prayer, to participate as you're able. We've gathered together a small representative part of our community to help us lead this liturgy now.
As we gather here today in sight of God to join in Holy Communion, we know we are only a spring width apart.
The God of all creation is not beholden to the bounds of time or place. God transcends our physical distances and parts the veil between us so that we may be together in this mystical space.
Through God and the mystery of Holy Communion, we become one creation, one body, one church.
All who desire to share in this mystery, declaring both our hunger for grace and our love for Christ, are welcome.
Let us pray in confession. Renewing God, trusting in your infinite grace, we confess that we need your healing and your forgiveness. For all that is broken in our minds and bodies, we ask your healing. For all that is amiss in our choices and our relationships, we ask your forgiveness. For all that works against life and blessing in our hearts and in the world, we open ourselves to your transforming grace. Heal us, forgive us, and make us new. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are a forgiven people. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Together we share a table of enormous width along this horizontal plane as it gently contours along our heavenly body.
The table is laid bare, earnestly seeking the providence of God.
At the wedding feast, Jesus proclaimed, "My time has not yet come." Yet persuaded by his beloved mother Mary, he turned water into wine.
I ask you now to collect whatever elements you may need to serve as your bread and your cup, the fruit of the vine, knowing that prevenient grace will justify your choices in the sight of God.
Now, as we sing the doxology, please set Christ's table where you are. It is good to be joyful as we give thanks to you, Holy God. You created us in your image and gave us life with your breath. Your love does not falter, even as we neglect that love. You liberated us from our bondage and continue to ease our burden. With joy and with all of creation, we proclaim, repeat after me, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 holy.
God of power and grace.
God of power and grace.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
You are holy God, and blessed is your child Jesus. Your spirit descended upon him so that he could proclaim good news to the poor, heal the sick, feed the hungry, cohort with sinners, and liberate the captive.
His life gave birth to the church through a new covenant, one born out of the Holy Spirit, whose power dwells within us today.
On the night in which he gave himself over, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, God, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
After dinner, he took the cup. He gave thanks and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me."
In remembering the mighty acts of Jesus, we offer ourselves in living witness, proclaiming the mystery of faith. Please repeat after me. Christ has died.
Christ has died.
Christ has risen.
Christ has risen.
Christ will come again.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on those gathered together in this holy space and on the gift of these elements. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world. Your Spirit makes us one with Christ and one with each other. It binds, blends, and multiplies us as we minister to the world as one beloved community of faith. Singing your praises on earth and in heaven until Christ comes again and we feast at the divine table in perfect harmony. All honor and glory are yours, God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. This bread is made from many grains from many lands, yet was formed into one single loaf. Because there is one God, we, though many, and in many places, are one body. Join us as we partake in the body of Christ in the remembrance of him.
The body of Christ given for you.
This fruit of the vine is made by many hands, from many places, yet pours freely. Join us as we share in this blessing of the cup of the new covenant.
The cup of blessing poured out for you and for all.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Thank you for this mystery of faith where you have given yourself to us. May we go into the world strengthened by your Spirit in a spirit of generosity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you for joining us for worship today at Westwood Church from online wherever you are. We're grateful for your participation in our worship together and invite you to connect in even more deeply to the life of our congregation. If you're not on our email list, we invite you to join it. You can do that through our website, westwoodumc.org. Down in the bottom corner of the website's homepage, you can find the place where you would submit your address to be included on our list. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram, and even more beautifully into the life of the fabric of our church community as you connect into our small groups and classes. We have a follow-up class today taught by John Holbert that will happen over Zoom. The link and information is in the e-news or on our Westwood Church Community Group on Facebook. We invite you to connect in there. We're always grateful for your faithfulness in giving tithes and offerings in support of the work of the church. Especially in this time of physical separation, the work of the church continues, and we encourage you to contribute as you're able. You can do that through the link on this post or our website, or by mail. This morning we have some prayer shawls that we invite you to join us in praying over. This morning we have these three shawls for a family in Worcester, Massachusetts, George, Demetrios, and Sultana, all of whom are suffering with COVID-19. We pray for the three of them and all others who are suffering from this disease. The other prayer shawl is for Ellen Evans Agee's niece Molly and her fiance Dylan, who are engaged to be married and were planning for a wedding in mid-May that's now been postponed. In this time of waiting and uncertainty, we pray for their life together to not be put on hold, but their love to continue to grow. Will you join me as we pray for these people and others in need in our midst? Holy God, we pray that you would pour out the blessing of your presence, your peace, your strength, and your healing on George and his family in Massachusetts as they struggle with COVID-19. We pray for all others who are infected anywhere in this world of yours. We pray for those who struggle awaiting diagnosis in the midst of uncertainty. We pray for whatever is healing is possible to be present with and for them. And we pray for Molly and Dylan, for all others whose plans have been postponed. We pray that these two people's love would continue to grow and strengthen themselves, not only for the sake of themselves, but for the sake of your world. We pray that this shawl would be a sign of the love and prayer of our community, of your church. This and all the prayers and longings of our hearts, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We don't have a place to set these today where you can touch them and say a prayer, but we invite you to continue to bless them by saying a prayer with us. Now, though, I invite you to go from this time of worship strengthened by the gift of a God who feeds us, who tends us, who protects and guides and nourishes us. Go forth from this time to be full of life abundant. Go in peace. Amen.